Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year's. It is Dukes of Bell, man. We're live at Twin Peaks. It's one of those great holiday mashups. I know you had fun with Carl yesterday.
Yes.
So it's another day of Randy Mack in drive time.
It's what's happening, Mike? Obviously, yesterday I had a good time with Carl. And then, you know, coming back and hanging out with you and everything. It's been a long time since me and you've been. Because we always have fun here. When we were at Twin Peaks, remember we had the we were auctioning off our old stuff that one time.
One day we cleaned out our closets and we were giving away stuff. And right on, man.
But it's been, that's how long it's been, because the last time we hung out together, Mike, you
I blew a gasket.
No, that was the studio, and I promised Carl that I promised Carl that I was going to bring you back home to him, okay, on Monday. But no, the only lettuce we used to have was on these big burgers we used to eat here, Mike, with French fries
and
hot wings and big beers. You sit over here with a chicken Caesar salad.
Dude, I'm having a chicken Caesar. I got to tell you right now. Let me just tell you right now. When I put my body this last week, I just want to say right now, again, people are eating their lunch right now, a late lunch here at Twin Peaks. I'll make this brief. I really feel sorry for the guy who does the bathrooms at Fort Myers Airport today.
Oh, you went,
I destroyed it. I absolutely destroyed it this morning. Yeah, I was like, don't go back in there for the next 30 to 45 minutes. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, we like to start every hour, every show with a big hearty, hey, man. And hope everybody's had an awesome Christmas. It's been a lot of fun, you know, just down on the beach, putting some of those photos up on Twitter at MikeBellATL. And it was funny because I was at the beach, and I know I'm not going to rehash the whole weekend. We're going to focus on the Hawks here because that was a hell of a finish last night. But it was funny because everybody always says when we talk about cutting the cord when it comes to your TV, everybody's like, well, you got to do Fubo. You got to do a Fire Stick. You got to do this. And I was sitting there on the beach with my phone, and I'm trying to watch the Falcons game, and I got it coming up on my DirecTV. Oh, God, Falcons and hosting.
Right.
Oh, look at this. The Giants. I got it. And then, of course, nothing. And then I can't find it. I got to go to Fubo, and I'm trying to get my password.
Right.
And so I missed. I got Arch and Wes on Becky's phone, and then I hear, like, and he drops it. Ray McLeod. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They dropped a pass, and then they dropped Drake, dropped a pass. Yes. I'm like, oh. But anyway, Penix looked great, but it took me – I missed about the half of the first quarter if I could finally get it on a device to watch it, because I'm not the guy you need to stream. I can't figure any of that stuff
out. Well, I mean, Mike, I'm with you. My wife is – my wife, Donna, she's always, well, why don't you get the cable bill? The cable bill is this high. So that's how I want it.
Right.
I refuse to do all those streaming services and everything. I'm at G here, on site engineer. We were talking, and me and Carl talked a lot about the football games on Netflix.
Right.
The fact that you can't, like, exit out to go. You got to do a whole process to get back to the game.
If you want to go NBA to NFL, it was near impossible.
Yeah. And so that's a situation like that. But yeah, it was, you know what, Mike? It was, it was like a typical Falcon drive. The drops, and then you miss the damn field goal. And you're like,
I literally losing my mind. And I'm sitting there on the beach. I had a picture of me with a cigar in my mouth. Like, why am I ruining my vacation today? But I got to stick with it. I thought it was great about Michael Penix and what he brought. And the defense certainly picked him up. Complimentary football. We'll get into that. But the story to start this hour, and this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors here on Dukes and Bell, live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, is your Atlanta Hawks. Finishing games, doing things we just haven't seen this team do, Randy. You got to go back to the run to the playoffs in 21 to see the kind of stuff we put together last night. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, down, 17 to start the fourth.
Unbelievable.
The Bulls, again, it's always some nobody. G Money, who's producing and engineering up here today, and Orange back at the ranch producing and engineering.
Bulls.
We were just talking, there's always some nobody. And it's Bob Rappin. This Carter guy's out of
who
his
Who the hell
mind.
Is this dude, though, Mike? Mike, who is this guy? I think they were saying that he had 4 3-pointers all season.
Right.
And then I'm sitting there watching, and he is just – everything he throws up in that first quarter – it's going in. Then you got Zach LaVine getting whatever he wanted. So you're like, could somebody play some defense? And every time it seemed like the Hawks would make a little run, they would extend the lead. Somebody would hit a 3-pointer and everything like that.
What happened with LaVine? Did he get disinterested? Because it seemed like he could get anything he wanted.
They couldn't stop him.
I know that Billy Donovan is disinterested. How about calling a timeout? Well, that's a Bulls problem. Let's start when things really got heated up. It was 126-126. This is where we got here with a steal from DeAndre Hunter. And, well, take a listen to our man, bang, Steve Holman.
They're down by three. Here comes Trae Young. Trae dribbles in the middle. Three-pointer, Trae. Bang! Trae Young has just tied the game. The Hawks have come from 21 down. 2:59 to go.
They put up 50.
Boy,
50.
I was watching the capsule on NBA TV today coming back on the flight, and, man, you talk about the buildings, like the roof was going to come off at State Farm in that moment, man.
It was crazy, man. And for them to go on the run that they did, Mike, and win by eight, that means, like you said, maybe it wasn't Zach LaVine. Maybe the whole Chicago Bulls team was his instrument. Maybe they had today
they
off.
Had it
couldn't wait to get
bag.
Back home. But yeah. for them to go and talk about the Hawks the way they went off, because you were sitting there like, who that? It seemed like a Hawks game. And I heard John Frickick when I was coming in, and losing to those teams is the most visible thing. Chicago, Washington,
Orlando. Well, Orlando's pretty good now, but Charlotte.
Those type of teams and everything. But yet you go and beat New York. Yet you go and beat Boston and Philly and all those teams. So it was a big deal. And then obviously tomorrow you got the Heat coming in.
Right.
I think 3 o'clock tomorrow. And they're one of those teams that's teetering around. But good thing for the Hawks, back to .500. Somewhere in the seventh or sixth seed somewhere. So, I mean, they're still continuously growing. The biggest thing is Bogey didn't play again. You know, we know Big O, he's out with this knee thing. So, we're just trying to get this team healthy as possible and stay as healthy as possible as they can.
Right, and that's been the thing. Part of this run and getting to where we are, where you feel like you're finally going to get out of this play-in rut we've been stuck in the last 3 years, is this team is healthier than it's been. Knock wood.
Yes.
Love to see them add some size in the front court, you know, by the trade deadline. That's, you know, there's still plenty of time before we get to that moment. And maybe get some help as far as backing up Trey. But either way, let's get back to the moments last night that made it happen. We talked about Dyson Daniels, Hunter, Jalen Johnson with a career high. The guy's just going off. Here's another steal and jam.
And now they're going to put it in. It's tipped. And it's stolen by Dyson Daniels. Dyson has it. Dyson stole the inbounds pass. He gets it to Clint Capella. Underneath, Jalen Johnson jams. And the Hawks have taken the lead. It's 128-126. Atlanta leading.
Just absolute gold, man. I could go. You want to hear another Jalen big play?
I mean, he's been balling, Mike. Right.
Here's a steal. And a layup.
Outside. Bounce pass. Stolen. Jalen Johnson steals it. Jalen's going to break in. Jalen lays it up and around the rim and in. And Atlanta has taken a lead, 134-129. A minute 20 to go. Levine with it.
I know Steve on that. He got to be on the treadmill after a game like that, boy, because of the energy that it takes. Because, that, like you said, the emotions in that building last night, because, of first of all, it was dead in there. And then all of a sudden, the Hawks started getting it going. And then, I mean, once they – when you look at 50 points in a quarter.
50 points without a turnover.
50 points in a quarter when you're down the way they were. And then they end up winning, like I said, winning by eight. I mean, that says a lot about offensively, defensively, and getting like you said, getting those timely steals. And Jalen, I mean, you look at what he's been, and we talk about this a lot, you know, as far as his ascension, as far as in the totem pole around the league. Not just necessarily on this team, but people are starting to notice who this young man is. And, I mean, 15 rebounds last night, just impressive all around. And like you said, DeAndre Hunter continues to do what he does off the bench. That's his role, Mike.
So, it's almost like you picked up a free agent.
Yes.
Because this is DeAndre Hunter doing what he's – when you're drafted fourth overall, it's kind of the argument we have with Pitts with the Falcons. There's huge expectations. And I don't know why it took 6 years, but the light – has gone on for him, and he's just been unbelievable. Later on in the postgame, Quinn Snyder was talking about, you know, what do you say when you're down 21? How do you get these guys cooking in the fourth?
Keep trying to run and attack and not get in panic mode.
Right.
And, you know, there was enough time in the game, obviously, but, you know, we needed to make plays, but we needed to make plays together. And I think that's what we did.
Great stuff, man. This team plays with poise. It's clutch. Dyson Daniels has been a revelation. I think you guys talk about all the time on middays with Andy. There's just so many good things that are happening. Again, knock wood, keep it healthy, stay healthy, because Bogey's just missed a lot of games so far this year. But, you know, the fact that DeAndre Hunter contributes every night. And, you know, the other night, I mean, I know it was a week ago, but when he jams on Wemby.
Oh, yeah.
And he's flexing. But, I mean, this
is a basket.
It's almost like, like I said, it's like a different guy. It's almost like you've replaced DeAndre Hunter with an all-star. You know, that's what he's supposed to be, but that's where he's going right now, and that's great to see.
I think, and you know, we continuously talk about it, is that Trey's trust in his teammates, too. I think that that's always says anything, because he can get his offense anytime he wants. But I think the more and more in that 13 assists last night, he can get those guys involved, especially early on in the game, getting some confidence and things like that. I thought Rishi Shea was pretty good last night also, but he's still having that rookie up and down. But yet he's getting those bonus minutes and in the starting lineup and things like that, because you want to keep DeAndre coming off the bench.
And the thing with Rishi Shea, we were talking about this before the show, doing the dirty work. I mean, doing the thankless stuff, like diving for a loose ball, diving out of bounds, throwing the body around. That's the stuff. If you're having a hard time with your shot, the hustle and the defense, you can always contribute. So the Hawks got things going. Yes, I'm still mad about that Spurs game. I thought they should have called the foul at Wemby. That's a game we should have won. Either way, there's an unbelievable comeback. 50 points in a fourth quarter, as Randy Mack just said, without a turnover, and you overcome a 21-point deficit. And it was funny because I'm watching the NBA capsule from NBA TV. So, sorry, Steve, I had the TV. And just Bob, unbelievable, Dink. Stinger, it's not Stinger. Stinger, that's just unbelievable to come back like that.
It's So you're going early, huh? We just start early. First segment ain't even ended right there.
Isn't that right, Stinger? That's right, Bob.
That's right, Bob.
Thank you, Stinger. Hey, man, we're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. This is like a fun mashup, as I said to start the show, when worlds collide, you know, between Andy Render and Dukes and Bell. And we'll talk more about the Hawks. We're going to get on the Falcons tip. I thought that D. Led made a great point today on social media. Thanks, Mike, saying that first time I got a big game in December in a long time.
He's not lying.
Yes.
He's not
lying. You got to go back to 17
right,
to have a game that meant something for this team in December.
But I think that we talked about it when because we and Andy were out in Vegas and everything and during our last show after the game. And, you know, the guy who takes you around, the guy who takes care of you at the hotel.
Right.
And he comes over to us and he makes sure we got everything, you know, ready so we can get on the plane. He's like, did you hear that they flexed the Falcons in Commander's game? And I was like, to win. He's like, Sunday night. And I was like, for what? And then now all of a sudden you see, now this is a great game because you're going to have two young quarterbacks, obviously Jaden Daniels for Washington, who's playing really, really well. And then you got Michael Penix Jr. Going up and everything like that. And everything is still on the line for both teams, actually, because it doesn't look like Jalen Hurts is going to play this weekend for the Eagles. So, I mean,
he's in the protocol.
Yeah, so where's Washington at? If they went out and the Eagles lose and all those different things, because they still have an outside shot. Yeah. And so then you look at the Falcons, they got to win.
Right. We really, really needed the Eagles to beat. And unfortunately, they just couldn't handle it without having Jalen Hurts in that game last week. But you still have the head-to-head advantage, you guys know, over the Bucs, but you have no margin for error. So we cannot lose on Sunday night. And it's funny, you know, knuckleheads on social media, the NFL knew that he was going to start. That's why they flake. Oh, you shut up.
Shut up.
You know, come on. Shut up, nerd. That's not how it works. But now we do have two of the young rising stars. Yes, I never understood the Cousins thing, and we're not arguing that, but now you get to see what this guy can do. Real quick, because I know you already covered it with Carl, but what did you think? What do you think of Penix's performance?
I thought he was good. I thought that they did a really good job of, you know, making sure that Bijan was the focal. Now, he played great and everything like that. I just only bad thing I thought about the game, too many negative runs for Bijan. Mm. You know, get out. Let's see if we can fight another day and things like that. But I also think if Tyler Algiers is 10-plus carries, something's going good in the run game. And so I still think they got to have that in order for them to win. I think Bijan's got to be somewhere, Mike, in the 120 range this game right here as far as rushing the football. I really do believe that. But I thought overall Michael was good. I thought that you know, the drops didn't help. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe in a parallel universe, they get a touchdown on that first drive. Yeah. It's sustained regardless.
They got to make plays. Drake Scott. You just make the play for him, right? You know?
Yeah, I didn't want to see him get a pick in his first game in the NFL. Yeah. Thanks, quiet quitter Kyle Pitts. Anyway, more on the Falcons coming up. We'll talk with our man Brian McFadden coming up next because this is the biggest game the Falcons have had, as we said, in years. Got to talk to our boy B-Mac. His Steelers are leaking.
They got some problems.
They got issues.
They got problems.
Russell, Mr. Unlimited.
They got problems, man.
Now it doesn't sound like they want him back in Pittsburgh. We'll get into all that. Go around the biggest games of the weekend with Brian McFadden next, live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, on a Friday, and it was kind of a wacky mashup with Randy Mack another day here on Dukes and Bell in Afternoon Drive. And Carl's on vacay, and I hope you guys have an awesome holiday. Hope you got everything you asked Santa for. And we'll talk more about what Randy got the kids. Man, I wish I was your kid. Stuff. You my daddy? Could you be? Anyway, more on that later.
Don't ever do that again, Mike.
Hey, man, join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline as we're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. It's Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl winner, one of the great podcasts. You guys looking for something new to check out, all things covered with him and his homeboy, Patrick Peterson, is always a lot of fun. He joins us right now. B-Mac. First off, we'll start with the Falcons. We were figuring the Giants were a great way to break a guy into the NFL, but I thought Penix did a really nice job. You know, maybe a few less drops, maybe he puts a touchdown drive together, throwing the football, but they leaned on the run game and the defense.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Michael Penix. To your point, if you're going to make your first professional start in the month of December in the NFL, you would love to have a team like the Giants to play against and making that first start. And he handled the situation rather nicely. You got to understand, his first start came in a moment where there was no room for error because of where the Falcons currently sit in the standings, especially in the NFC South. This is basically a win and keep going or lose and go home scenario. And for Penix, the moment never seemed to be too big for him. And, yeah, you talked about some of his numbers. I think he managed the offense rather nicely. I think he made routine plays happen routinely in the passing game. And outside of that interception that wasn't really his fault, I think he played an outstanding game.
What about me when you look at how they played around him? Because obviously Mike B talked about the drops and everything, but the leaning on a Bijan Robinson as a young quarterback. How about, because we were just talking before we got you, I said I think Bijan needs to go for at least 120 for them to be able to be in the game up there in Washington.
Man, I think that's the best recipe offensively for success with the Falcons, because we can talk about the individual skill set that Bijan Robinson has. You know, he's super talented, very, very gifted as a runner. But the strong point for the Atlanta Falcons offensively, guys, I believe is the offensive line. I think when you can get that unit to lean on defenders, it opens up everything offensively outside of the running game, the throwing game as well. And especially with a rookie quarterback making his first start, when you look at the dual backs and, you know, Bijan and Algier, those are guys that can really take over a ball game and, most importantly, close a ball game for you. And those are things that really travel in playoff football, especially in the atmosphere they're walking into in D.C. That's going to be a playoff atmosphere, national televised game. And for Atlanta, this is a very, very important game, because you want to continue to, you know, keep that separation between yourself and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So me personally, I have no issue with that being the mentality for the offense, because when the running game is going, everything on the offense is better.
And I know it's sometimes stats don't tell the whole story, as Brian McFadden joins us, but Dan Quinn's guys, the Commanders, are the fourth worst run defense. They are giving up over 137 yards on average. So that sounds like, I mean, another, you know, again, you know they'll try to stop it, B, but, I mean, if Penix continues with the high percentage stuff, and, you know, if the combination of Algier and Bijan can do it, this seems like a team, you know, that run game should travel, you know, to D.C.
Yeah, the same thing about this, guys. The same issues that followed a Dan Quinn defense last year with the Cowboys,
right,
has surfaced in D.C., and it's something about his scheme that really there are some holes in terms of opposing offenses, rushing attack. And the thing that I loved last week, guys, for Atlanta, granted, you played against the New York Giants, but just looking at Bijan run the football, he's much better. He's more impactful when the quarterback is under center. You know what I mean? He has a downhill momentum when the quarterback is under center. And if you go back looking at the Giants game, we saw more QB under center runs for Bijan Robinson that led to positivity when he had the football in his hands. And I think that will follow with them and against this game in D.C. And to your point, Mike, yeah, if they've been bad against every offense in the National Football League, if you're Atlanta, you want to expose those same issues Sunday night, because they have, you got to trust the team to be who they've shown you they are. The Commanders are bad against the run. Get that going, because if you can get that going, now you provide a balanced attack, and you won't be predictable in terms of what the Commanders think they might see from you offensively. So that should be the calling call for Atlanta. Let's get this game going. But now you don't want to be predictable, and also, you know, you want to utilize the play action as well. But if you can get that running game going, you find yourself in successful opportunities Sunday night.
B, how good is this Commander team? Obviously, the young kid is an outstanding prospect and everything like that, makes plays and things like that. Scary Terry is one of the most underrated players in the league. But as an overall team, how good is this team?
Yo, Randy Mack, they're a very, very good team. And the reason why they're a good team, they have a really good quarterback. You know what I mean? They have a really, really good quarterback. And most importantly, Randy Mack, you know about this, the entire offense believes in Jaden Daniels. They don't second-guess him. So when you believe in your quarterback, you know he's going to put you in positions to be successful and, most importantly, win ball games. Think about this team in 2023. They were a bad team. They couldn't protect the quarterback. They couldn't throw the football. They were turnover-prone. All of those issues that were there in 2023, they have been wiped away because they have a difference maker at the quarterback position. And most importantly, he is a playmaker. He is a playmaker. Go back to what we saw last week against Philly. The defining play for me was in the fourth quarter, that 4th and 10, where there was nothing there. And I think it was the fourth or the third quarter, but it was 4th and 10. They decided to go for it, and he made something happen that was not there with his legs. When you have that type of playmaker at the quarterback position, you have a fighting chance. Now, let's look at the National Football League in totality, right? All right, look at the teams that have a bona fide playmaker at the quarterback position. They're legit playoff contenders, right? Championship-like contenders. And I'm not saying Commanders are there yet. When you look at Lamar Jackson, he's a playmaker. I think we all would agree to that. When you look at Josh Allen, he's a playmaker. I think we will all agree to that. Pat Mahomes, playmaker. Jalen Hurts, playmaker. And I understand he's been overly criticized, but in my book, Jalen Hurts is a playmaker. Joe Burrow, playmaker. And Jaden Daniels, he's a playmaker for their offense. So to your question, they're a really, really good team. And, yes, they have already stamped their seat in the tournament, in the playoffs. But if you're not careful, that's the wrong team you want to play because they have a playmaker at the quarterback position, and he's playing with an abundance of confidence.
It's our man, Brian McFadden, guys. Now we'll bounce around the NFL as we do each week with B. And again, catch his podcast, man, All Things Covered. What's up with your Steelers? I know, 3 games in 11 days for the Chiefs. And I mean, it's just – Russell all of a sudden is not the babe, the boy anymore up there in Pittsburgh.
You know this, B-Mac, now, when stuff start going back, you got to keep stuff tight in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
They leader their team, Russ. The leader of the team, that B-Mac. You know, the Cam talking about some 10 guys doing their thing, one guy ain't. Like
Mr. Unlimited.
Who he talking about? That's what I want to know.
That man, listen, man, that's the biggest question coming out of Allegheny County right now. Who is he talking about? There's a lot of rumblings going on about an individual on the defensive side just deciding to do his own thing, Randy Mike. Ooh. Mike. And that didn't just surface on Christmas Day. Apparently this has been going on for weeks. But my thing is this, why is that said player still out there?
Right.
Or why does he believe it's okay for him to go out and go rogue and do his own thing? Now, and I'll say this, the things that we're talking about right now, if you go back in time to last year, surface again, remember with Deontay Johnson kind of doing his own thing, right? These are distractions. In a moment where you need to be focusing January football, playoff football, we're talking about guys doing their own thing that has kind of, you know, just tormented the entire operation on the defensive side. And then also, too, outside of that, Pittsburgh, they don't have any playmakers, yo. The only playmaker is George Pickens.
Right.
And if his head is not in the game, you're not going to get the best George Pickens. They lack playmakers. You know, when you look at teams in the AFC, they have playmakers, not just one. Our best playmaker is George Pickens. If you don't have George Pickens, you don't have nobody. Like other teams in the AFC, they have playmakers on their offense. And that's the difference. That's what's hurting Pittsburgh right now. And you look at their last three losses, guys, losing to Kansas City, losing to Baltimore, and losing to Philly. All three of those teams, offensively, they had at the bare minimum two playmakers on their offense. Let's go by it. Let's look at it. Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown. I think we always say they're legit bona fide playmakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore Ravens, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. I think we all would say they're bona fide playmakers, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then Kansas City, of course, it starts and stops with Pat Mahomes. And just because Pat Mahomes is that is him, there's a lot of different variations of playmakers you can have on the Kansas City Chiefs offensively. Outside of George Pickens, think about who would be the next best playmaker, you would say. It's a confusing question because you don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
It's defense. I mean, it's TJ. It's what? You know, it's what? You think about it. It's either
I'm saying the offensive side.
It doesn't exist.
They went and got Mike Williams, and they throw the ball every third game.
Right.
Even here in Atlanta, Bijan Robinson is a playmaker. He is a legit playmaker. And when you look at the growth and the maturation process of Drake London, one would say you can throw him in that category as well. For Pittsburgh, they're one of the few teams in the AFC that have a legit playoff opportunity where you only have maybe one playmaker that you can hang your hat on and say, yes, he is. But to my point, if George Pickens' head isn't in the game, he's not going to give you the playmaking ability. That's an issue for Pittsburgh.
It's a BMAC with us, guys. Brian McFadden here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Some of the other games, other storylines. Just real quick, I know that Green Bay looks really good. Green Bay, Minnesota. That's going to be seems a lot of points. I got Sam Darnold in fantasy. This is championship week. I need some numbers, baby. Look at the numbers. But do you believe that Green Bay is going to hang on for that number 2 spot in the NFC?
Yo, that right there is going to be like a wild card game. And to your point, with Minnesota, if they win out, they will have the number 1 seed in the NFC with Sam Darnold. I repeat that. If Minnesota wins out, if they beat Green Bay Sunday and Detroit next week, Sam Darnold will have a first-round bye in the playoffs. Think about that coaching job that Kevin O'Connell has done.
Yes.
But to your question, that game happens in Minnesota indoors. That's a plus to Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell has been one of the best coaches in the National Football League, and Sam Darnold, quiet as kept, has been one of the best playmakers in the National Football League as well. I think he's going to do numbers. Now, to your point, people don't believe in Minnesota, and they feel like the old Sam Darnold will surface.
Right.
at this point in the season, he is who he is right now. So get away from thinking the Jets Sam Darnold is going to surface. No, he is who he is. He is a bona fide playmaker, and he's been doing a great job in orchestrating the offense. So I think Minnesota's going to take this one. I honestly do, because of, you know, playing at home is a plus. You know, you don't have to go out there in Lambeau Field and play in 15-degree weather and maybe some snow. That's a plus for Minnesota. Defensively, there's going to be some opportunities for them to kind of do some things in terms of putting pressure on Jordan Love. Can they stop Jordan, Josh Jacobs? That's a big-time question. But for Minnesota, man, the offense, the way they're clicking and throwing the football with Sam Darnold, and let's keep it real, Sam Darnold is coming into this game as the better quarterback in terms of what he's done over the last 6 weeks. I like Minnesota, so Mike, you should be in a good situation at championship weekend with Sam Darnold leading you.
And they wrap it up, by the way, they wrap it up with Detroit the final week of the season, by the way, Minnesota and Detroit.
Yep.
Last one, because I wanted to get your thought, because there's a couple teams that people aren't really mentioning, but you might want to be aware if you got, especially if you got to play them in the second season. The L.A. Rams, because you got a quarterback, Ben B, that can do his thing. Matt Stafford, when he's on, is one of the best in the league. But what is it about this team? Obviously, Sean McVay coaches ass off. But this team right now, B, is it because they're just healthy or they just hitting their stride at the right time?
Randy Mack, I just gave praise to Kevin O'Connell with the coaching job he's done. But to your question, what is it about the Rams? They have the best coach in the NFC coaching them, in Sean McVay. I understand he might not be coaching the team with the best record, but he is the best coach in the NFC, and here's why. Name me another coach that is sitting in a prime position like the Rams that have been asked to do more with less and have delivered in the NFC. Think about this. In the first, four games, they were 1-3.
Yep.
Dealing with injuries to their two top pass catchers in Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Not to mention, think about some of the young guys that have been called to action, and they have really delivered big time in the Jared Verses of the world, Braden Fist of the world, Kobe Bryant once again having a phenomenal year. These are guys that aren't even in year three. You're talking about year one guys and year two guys that have surfaced and played well. Think about Kyron Williams. Think about his development as well. So for them to be in this position, if they win their division, number one, you got to go out to L.A., so they get a home game, and that's a team. They have championship experience. They have a championship pedigree. And their offense, if you get them on the wrong day, they will put up 30-plus points on you. Just ask the Buffalo Bills. So that is a team you have to really be mindful of because of their coach being the best coach in the NFC, in my opinion.
And speaking of the Bills, obviously – Josh Allen, everybody's number one sweetheart right now. And we were just saying off the air, he seems to get more of the national profile games. Lamar gets him too. But Lamar, on pure statistics, it's almost going to be like Kobe could win the MVP every year like Michael could. Who's your MVP?
Lamar Jackson.
Thank you.
Lamar Jackson is the MVP right now. I don't understand why they're trying to push this Josh Allen effect towards the MVP. No question, Josh Allen has been playing some really, really good football. But Lamar Jackson has been the best. When they played, when they had the head-to-head matchup, Baltimore beat Buffalo by 25 points. What are we talking about? Name me another quarterback that has been more efficient than Lamar Jackson. Name me a quarterback that has been a more consistent playmaker than Lamar Jackson. And look at this, guys. Lamar Jackson already has two MVPs in his pocket. But the two MVP seasons that he had in the past, those numbers do not trump anything that he's doing right now.
Right.
He has better numbers right now than the two previous MVP seasons. So it's almost like these voters and these, you know, experts there, they have Lamar Jackson fatigue in terms of MVP. Right. Now, last year, I felt like the class was kind of watered down, so it kind of helped Lamar win last year. But what he's doing right now, he's more deserving of getting an MVP. Did you guys just see what he did to Houston? He didn't even play the fourth quarter.
Right. Look, if it wasn't for Beyonce, nobody's watching that second half. Well, probably no one did.
Exactly.
Anyway,
and Lamar Jackson, basically, he probably did watch Beyonce because by halftime, the game was already out of reach.
You ain't lying. Hey, we got to roll, B-Mac. Thanks again, man. Have a happy new year, and we'll be talking to you hopefully about a Falcons win and getting ready for this last game of the season. Thanks again.
Appreciate you, fam.
All right, happy holidays, Mike. Randy, Mike, man, keep doing your thing, baby.
My fam.
You got it, baby. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Randy Mack in for Carl. We're live at Twin Peaks here in Kennesaw. By the way, Lamar Jackson's quarterback rating, 20 points higher than Josh Allen.
Especially that, but Mike, he has four freaking interceptions, and three of them were his fault. They were not his fault.
39 touchdowns. Now, again, Josh has got more on the ground this year, and that's become a thing. But you're right. It's just – You're right. That's why I hate these postseason awards. They're so subjective.
Why don't they just split it like they did with Peyton and Steve McNair? Remember that one year?
Yeah. We'll come back. We got more to dive into, including our daily download. The Hawks were on fire last night. And do the Falcons have a secret weapon to get ready for D.C.? Well, let's play. Like 80-degree weather, Andy, you know, out on the boat on the beach, and they come up here, and it's like cold and drizzly.
So, Jimmy, you catch anything?
No.
Not
heck,
fish.
No, nothing. Never dropped a line in the water. We just drank. No, I gotta be honest. I can't lie to you. I mean, there was no sport fishing on this trip. It was just sport drinking.
There you go.
Yep. So a lot of fun. Just, you know, renting the. They'd be like, you know, just take the pontoon boat out to the sandbar and just, you know, run on the ground. You can't screw it up. And
yeah.
Just watch the tide.
That's the biggest thing. Right? I had that issue one time. I was like, okay. So this is why.
It's
I
always
don't
funny
boats.
When you rent a boat and it's a rent a boat and it says, you know, basically rent a boat on the side, and
yes.
then, you know, there's somebody with like, you know, a $200,000 boat with like four, you know, 6,000 horsepower engines on the back.
And they look sideways at you.
And so when you're coming into dock, you're like, okay, I gave them a wide berth, and later on I walked up with Ike and I said, yeah, I try to give you as much space. He goes, we appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Because the thing about it is, I don't. This is mine.
Right.
Mine.
It's basically the equivalent of you having like a Lamborghini and you park it in the middle of nowhere in the lot, and then somebody still parks right next to you.
Yeah,
you know,
give me some space.
Right. Exactly.
Give me some space. At least like you're because like I don't drive. I've driven two boats. Last vacation, me and Donna went on. I ran the pontoon boat. And I had driven and everything like that, but it was not like. Mike, it was the slowest boat ever. Like, I could have paddled faster than that damn pontoon boat went through the water.
Like a 50 horsepower.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's how yeah, slow it was. That's why it took us forever to get to where we were going out there in that water. But, yeah, I'm cool with the boat thing. Let me sit in the back, drink my beer and everything. And that was one thing, boating and drinking. You know, I tried not to do that. You know what I mean?
No, it was
a whole lot of water. Mike, it was a whole lot of ocean out there.
I had a great hat for the beach that says Captain Cocktail. That's not the hat you want to be wearing when the Marine Patrol pulls you
over. Exactly. Because you know what they're going to say? Sir, you want to –
Hey, officer, am I in the channel?
What's in the cup?
You don't want to be that guy. But anyway, hope you guys had a great vacay, or maybe your vacay starts this week. Carl's going to be off, and we'll have plenty of fun as we get ready for the Falcons and Commanders. And that brings us to talking to the Falcons and the big stories, our daily download.
Story number one.
Yeah, brought to you by ATL Live Well, by the way. Sorry, don't just live well. Starting with the Falcons, guys, and I did think that you guys had a great conversation with Coach. Needless to say, it was a tough decision. They waited and they tried, and they were hoping Kirk Cousins was going to play his way out of it, and it just never happened, Randy.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is, and I can't, I know I've said it. I know I've seen, like, other guys that's played in the league long like I did, and we all say the same thing. Just didn't see this happen. Don't know. Never seen anything like this happen, Mike, as far as, you know. This dude, he was the NFC player of the week twice, threw for 500 yards and all these different things, and you're third in the league in passing, and then all of a sudden it's a cliff. That's why I kept thinking, is he hurt?
Right.
Is it something that they're not letting us on to? Is it something?
But mental, physical,
because the thing about it is, he's been playing too damn long for it. He's mental.
Right.
So it's got to be physical. We'll probably hear about this story sometime in the offseason.
That's what I said to Carl a few weeks ago. Sometime, somewhere, when the story's going to be written. Then I thought also to throw in the aspect of, has he been a guy that maybe there's always been a confidence thing, and that, you know, people talk about the postseason. More than one player can lose a postseason game. I thought sometimes he was unfairly criticized. But then knowing that half the city, wants Penix, you know, coming in and you know, you drafted him, and it made no sense, but, you know, you got a built-in insurance policy waiting over your shoulder. Here's Raheem Morris from yesterday's show basically saying nothing changed when Penix goes in.
One of those things where the kid's been here for, it was 15 weeks, not including preseason and the offseason, and he's had the ability to grow and learn and grow under Kirk and really get his stuff going, get everything going, get the procedure going, how we want to do things. Like I told these guys, we had our periods. We got a chance to go out there and, you know, be the one in certain situations. We did our Mamba periods, whether it was twos on twos, and you got to go spit the play out, call it, get the guys up there and out of the huddle, get them in and out in a timely fashion, but with the play clock being used, and execute. And we were able to do those things with him last week also by simulating some 2 minutes and things of that nature that we kind of had been building throughout the year. So when his time was there, the young man was ready, and he went out there and he showed us how much he was ready by going out there and able to compete at a very high level.
Question.
And I was really pleased at how clean he was able to play when it came to all those things.
And that's, I asked him that, Mike, as far as how did or if the offense had to change because of the quarterback change. And that's what he said. None. They didn't really change anything.
Right.
I think, you know, more or less, if they were talking about protection, obviously you slide the protection a different way when you have a left-handed quarterback. But I thought, you know, just the plays and everything, it was crazy because I kept saying, me and Andy were talking about, the first play was going to be a pass. I was like, they're going to come out and let him throw the pass, which was a beautiful play call, bootlegging back to his strong arm. You know, they did a little max protection, kept Drake in and everything so you can make sure you get as much protection for him. Got to catch it. He put it right where it was. And I know Rob was explaining because the ball gets up on you a little bit more because of the different velocity that comes out. I don't believe in the damn left-handed spin, catch the damn football. I don't believe in all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you just want to grow because that was a big thing me and Carl were talking about is, like, because he played good, Mike, but he's got to play better this weekend.
Right.
And I know they had a stat out, you know, it's not real big, not in the advantage of young quarterbacks first time starts on the road in the NFL. I think it's like 2-14 or something. But I don't think it's impossible for them to beat Washington.
No, they got the fourth worst running defense, but they've also got the top five pass defense.
Yes.
That's the strange mix when you look at what Dan Quinn's defense has become. Coming up in 3 minutes on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Have they got the secret weapon to prepare for Jaden Daniels? Stay tuned. First, Drake London. Obviously, big concern is he healthy? I was going round and round because Friday on last week's show, we were here at Twin Peaks, and we were talking about the reaction in the locker room, you know, amongst the players. Hey, man, they've announced Penix, you know, and then you had guys like, you know, you had Pitts. My name's Paul, and that's between y'all.
Right. You know, also, Drake London. Work here.
And then Drake, and, you know, he was like, hey, man, I just catch balls. And some guys are like, you made this into a federal case. No, I just know that Drake London is an intense guy and is one of the leaders on this team.
Yes.
And I just thought you'd say a little bit more than the perfunctory or the baseline comment of, hey, man, let's rally behind the young man. And I get it. It's a strange time, Randy, because there are divided loyalties. Not loyalties, but you're passionate because Kirk's been the guy and he's a leader from the moment he got here. And all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be Penix. But that's, I mean, all I was saying, yes, it wasn't like Drake was going to go out there and drop a ball on purpose, but it did kill me to see Ray McCloud and Drake when you really need you guys to step up. And this guy, it is, again, albeit the Giants, it's still a pressure situation.
Well, I think the biggest, when you have young players, and we'll talk about the dogs later on the dog report, you got to play good around. You got to help them. Yeah,
right.
It might have been a difficult catch, but make it anyway because you know you have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't. And the thing with it is, because I've been through a situation with a quarterback change, but ours was completely different. We didn't want that guy. You know, we wanted our guy and everything like that. And not saying that we went to coach, but you can just tell the body language, everything about, okay, this dude, whatever. They're not like that here. They're not like that. But the thing about it is, they ain't blind, Mike.
No.
They ain't stupid. And you're in that film room and you're in that meeting room and you're watching it because nobody knows it before the players. Nobody. And you're sitting there like, okay. And you see it get to a point because you don't ever want to throw a teammate under the bus. And that's why, you know, a long time ago, my coach always told me about this, especially when you started being on TV. It's like the body language says it all.
Right.
You know what I mean? You might not say it, but people are watching TV. The ball don't get to you. It's behind you or something like that. And your body language, it just
seemed to me in the Raider game on Monday night, guys, I'm not saying they were rolling their eyes, but it certainly looked
you
like
could feel it, though.
you could see it like, what the hell is going on here? This is just guys see the tape, and they see that Kirk, just for whatever reason, wasn't delivering the ball. Real quick, a concern about Drake London's knee. Here's Coach Ra on What's Up with Drake.
Yeah, Drake seems to be fine. You know, obviously he came out, could have went back into that game like we talked about the other day. He had a practice today. I'm not sure we clarified him today. I think he was limited, but he actually went out there and practiced at a high clip, and I feel really good about Drake. Being able to play at a high level for us.
Stetson Bennett famously was the guy that was imitating Baker Mayfield as Georgia
prepared for the
Rose Bowl, and that's when a lot of folks kind of took notice that maybe this, you know, Stetson Bennett at some point can come back and be a man for Georgia. Well, it's hard to find somebody like Jaden Daniels. I really wanted him. There was no way to get there to where they were picking it too. So what do? You go get somebody with some athleticism. They go get Emory Jones, the former Florida Gator quarterback from LaGrange. Here's Coach on bringing somebody in to do some stuff.
You know, simulation of the guy we're about to play, right? Guy that can move around, guy that can scramble, guy that can run some of his own read stuff and the read option, all of those things, getting some guys that are fleet of foot to be able to chase down, do some of the things that, you know, obviously they're very special players been doing. But it gives you a nice simulation of that on practice squad and something we did not have. You know, Kurt would be the practice squad guy normally. We have Nathan Peterman, who's not as fleet of foot as the guy that we're going to play. So you get a guy that can do some of those things and simulate some of those movements in order to get you guys ready to compete.
Not as fleet of foot. Basically, you're slow.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah, you're just not that guy.
But the thing about it is because of how these new lacks and people you have on the practice squad, you can do things like this, Mike, to bring a guy in just for them. This is Emory's last week on this football team. But at the same time, you know, I made the example when we used to play Mike. And so when we were playing the Falcons and everything, it wouldn't be more or less where you had the quarterback who ran the practice squad. You let him throw the ball.
Right.
But all the other things, we were bringing DB over there that was a quarterback or something in high school and allow him to give the team a look. Now, nobody's fast as Mike Vick, but right. just something where you can, like, try to maybe simulate right. something as far as the athleticism and being able to break a team.
So that's what Emory Jones is here to do, and hopefully yep. he can do some of that. Hey, let's go to story number two because the Hawks had an unbelievable comeback.
Story number two.
Yeah, man, the Bulls were beating them. They were down 21 at one point, 17 to start the fourth, and the Hawks dropped 50 in the fourth, most points in a single quarter, 88 points in the second half, half most points in one half in NBA, the Hawks' NBA history. Team just made some unbelievable things happen last night. Here's what it sounded like at the end from our man, Bang, Steve Holman.
Crowd on their feet. What a tremendous win for the Atlanta Hawks, folks. The horn sounds. They've come from 21 down, and they have defeated the Chicago Bulls using a 34-9 run. Wow. What a win for the Hawks. They were dead in the water, folks. They were dead to rights in this game. They were totally out of it. They come back and win, and they beat the Bulls 141-133.
Unbelievable win.
What a night. What a comeback.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, man, Jalen Johnson was doing his thing. Trey was doing his thing. DeAndre Hunter, we played the montage of steals and jams. Dyson Daniels. I mean, it's a joy. I cannot say this in 3 years. It's a joy to watch the Hawks. In the half court, in transition, everything last night was popping in the fourth.
I think, first of all, they went out and they got the right pieces around Trey. Obviously, right. you got a defensive guy next to him that wants to be the all-defensive team, better offensive player. But I think just the Dyson Daniels acquisition, along with the continuous sense of Jalen, you find it a role for DeAndre Hunter. I mean, I think they're playing well. They just got to stop going to these damn losing streaks in the middle of the season. Three game here, four game here. Because right now, Mike, they're 2.5 out. Right. on Orlando, who is banged up and everything like that. Obviously, you got Miami coming in tomorrow. They're a half a game ahead of you right now. So, I mean, they're going in the right direction. You just got to stay on that path of stop losing four games in a row or something right. like that. Try to be more consistent with it. But, yeah, I didn't know what the hell to think last night. I was like, who the hell is this guy shooting all these damn three-pointers? Oh, he only has four on the season. Now he has seven in the first quarter.
Nate, they just got this guy somewhere at the bus station, put him in a uniform. He's going for 30. Yeah. Stinger, who is this guy?
I don't know.
I think he was on my team at L.A. Fitness, Bob.
Stinger, you are tripping.
Hey, man. Hey, thanks, Bob. We're live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Randy, is it for Carl? That's your daily download brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. By the way, ATL Live Well, if nothing else, if you want to go get maybe a testosterone treatment or something, go see the ladies at work there. They will turn your spirits around, Randy, for the holidays. Thank you. I'm just telling you, they're really friendly folks. Make quite an impression when you come in the front door. We'll come back, talk about some football, including why does it have to be the zero-sum game? The NFL kicks the NBA's butt. We'll explain next.